Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 and then back again to Philippians chapter 4. Colossians 1 is where we'll start, but let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 6. And we've got some other verses turned in. We'll try to get started on Sunday on those. So if you have any others you'd like to turn in, feel free to do that. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we're thinking about scriptures that would help us. Maybe someday we'll have to be like the Ukrainians on the run. We never know. And what verses would we like to have hid in our hearts? So let's do Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let's go through this three times together. I'll say the reference, then if we can say the verses and the reference together. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Would you have one of the guys help us read through it for us while we close our eyes and try to think through it? Any volunteers? Brother Ethan? Okay.
Philippians 4, 6 or 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. And Brother Ethan, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be in your house. And Father, I ask as we dig into your word that you would teach us from it.
Yes.
That you would, Lord, if there's any sin in our lives, Lord, that you would convict us. And Father, yes. That you would use this time to, Lord, draw us closer to you. And Father, I just ask that you bless now.
Amen. Okay, then, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. Looking at the topic tonight, prayer to know the will of God and to do it. Prayer to know the will of God and to do it. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, this is prayer meeting. How should we be praying? It just, this seemed to step out to me, or can't think of the word I'm trying to use here, but just stood out to me. That's it. When it talked there in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. How should we be praying? How should we be personally praying? And how should we be praying, excuse me, for others? This is a good passage for us to consider. Number one, prayer to be filled with a knowledge of his will. So that's the first point. Prayer to be filled with the knowledge of his will. That should be our prayer for ourselves and for others. Lord, may I be filled with the knowledge of your will for my life. That's what verse 9 says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And God used Paul here to say, we do not cease to pray for you. I wonder how many people we have ceased to pray for because we've given up. Maybe given up that they'll ever be saved, or maybe given up that they'll ever get right with God, or for whatever reason, have we given up? Sometimes politically, you see such wickedness and such depravity, you might be tempted just, well, what's the use, Lord? But we've got to prevail. We've got to keep on praying. I just keep praying for not only our government leaders, but so many corrupt government leaders around the world. And I just keep praying, Lord, please bring them to repentance and faith in Christ. And Lord, if they will not get saved, Lord, please bring them down and put somebody in their place that will fear you and do the right decisions. So we can't give up. Maybe you've given up witnessing to someone, or maybe even trying to witness at all because someone rebuked you. I don't know what you might have faced, but we never know how God is working in lives. I got another flat tire this week. It was my second flat tire, I think, in 3 weeks. And so I took the tire in, and I just happened to get the same young man that I dealt with the last time I had a flat tire. And so they fixed the tire, and I was reading my Bible while I was waiting for them to fix it. And so they got it done, and so he wheeled the tire over to me. And so I was going to take the tire and wheel it out, but he offered to wheel it out to the van for me, so went ahead. And I think he just wanted to talk to me. That's why I think he wanted to take the tire out. But so get the tire in the van, and then he said to me, he says, I like that. And he didn't use the word gospel track. It was a different word. I don't remember what word he used, but he says, I like that you gave it to me last time. He said, I took it home, he said, my wife and I went to bed, and we read that tract together at bedtime. And he said, we really liked it. And so I thought, well, praise the Lord. So we had a several-minute talk there, and he brought up about all these things going on in the world. And so he then asked about the church again, and so I just grabbed another tract because the information's on the back and gave it to him. And I said, did I give you this one before? And he looked at it and said, no. He said, you gave me the one on thin ice. I thought, that's amazing. He even remembered the name of it. And the one I gave him today, or was it yesterday? I forget. Was the one on seven false ideas about hell or something like that. And that was just the one I had in my pocket there. And so I gave that to him. And so, you know what? I left there thanking the Lord I had a flat tire. I thought, Lord, thank you for helping that tire to go flat, because I got to give out that guy another track and to hear that he and his wife actually read that track as they were retiring for the evening. And
I just, praise the Lord. I'll take as many flat tires as you want to give me, Lord, if I can just see you working in hearts. So you may see me stranded by the road now that I say that with a flat tire. But I was just praising the Lord for all that he has done. You know, we never know. You know, we are sowing seeds everywhere we go. And we just never know what God is doing in hearts until he pulls back the curtain a little bit. If you hold your place here, let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. Mark 4:26. Interesting passage here. Mark 4:26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." So, verse 31 said, it's sowing the seed of God's word, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. You know, a lot of times, sometimes you can tell when you hand a person a gospel tract, you can tell they just despise it. You know, to them, it's like the least of all the seeds in the earth. Why are you giving me this thing? But praise God, it's going to bring forth fruit. God, it will not return back unto him void. So as we think about that, we received the information packets on cleaning the highway again this year, and in it, and we do two sections, so we received two packets, and in each packet was a packet of seeds. And so I read, what is this? And so they are milkweed seeds. And they said, you don't see as many monarch butterflies around anymore because they lay their eggs in milkweeds. And, well, farmers like Roundup and similar things, and you just don't see as many milkweeds around. Now, if you plant a garden, it's common to have milkweeds come up, but not so common anymore in farmers' fields. And anyway, so they want us to spread milkweed seeds as we clean the roads this year to try to get more monarch butterflies back. And if it's so important to the government to have milkweeds and monarch butterflies, how much more important is it to sow the seed of God's word? Because our Heavenly Father, the Creator who created the milkweeds and the monarch butterflies, more than those, he wants people to be saved, doesn't he? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So let us not cease praying for people that they might be saved. Let's not give up. And let's go back to Colossians. So Paul hadn't given up praying for these people in Colossae. If you read the book of Colossians, they had a lot of problems. They had problems with philosophy. Philosophy, you know, is really deep thinking. You know, I think it was the first day I was in philosophy class in Bible school. They asked the question, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there, did it make a sound? And I thought, that is a legitimate question. I mean, how many hundreds of dollars do you pay for college credits an hour? Of course it makes a sound. Oh, how ridiculous. Anyway, that's a philosophy question. So where can we find the knowledge of his will? So these people at Colossae faced philosophers and problems like that. Well, let's look, where do we find the knowledge of his will? Let's look at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Where can we find the knowledge of his will? That's what Paul was praying for these people, that they would find the knowledge of his will. Who are we praying for? Are we praying for them that they would find the knowledge of God's will? Well, where will they find it? 2 Timothy 3:16. All what? Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what?
Righteousness.
So when we pray for someone that they will find the knowledge of his will, we need to be praying for them that they would be in the Bible. And like Brother Michael is trying to get people in the Word of God, fellow Iranians or Farsi-speaking people. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the knowledge of his will, we find it in the Bible. Notice in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. So once again, we find that perfect will of God by getting in the Bible. That's how we know his perfect will. So we need to pray that God would help us to rightly understand the Bible. We need to pray for others that they too would find his perfect will. So back in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. So in verse 9, once again, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Are we praying for others? And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice with me in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Where do we find wisdom? James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Think of all the decisions that we make in our lives. Think of all the decisions that we've made today or in recent weeks. How many of those decisions that we made were really in the perfect will of God? In fact, how many of those decisions that we've made did we even ask God? Or did we just do them? Maybe the decisions were based on our own conveniences and desires. I can't say if you would have asked me Monday, if you would have said, do you think you could find it convenient one day this week to have a flat tire? You know what I probably would have said? No, I don't find that convenient. But I'm glad I had that flat tire because of what happened. But it just made me think, how many decisions do we make and we never ask God? So we never see his hand working because we don't ask him for his will in whatever decision. If you notice with me in Matthew 6, how many of the decisions that we've made lately have been made after praying? Or were they just, the decisions just, no, God, that's not convenient. You know, did we pray, Lord, I want to be a witness today. Help bring that to pass. Or did we just decide, you know, what we're going to do? In Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye what? First, the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness and all what? These things shall be added unto you. You know, when I took that flat tire in there, it was, I think it was like 20 minutes before they closed. And he said to me, he says, did you want this today? Yet today? And I says, well, if you have time. But I says, if not, tomorrow's fine. And he said to me, he says, will you come in at the perfect time? He didn't realize that, but it was. It was the perfect time. He says, you come in at the perfect time. It was just 20 minutes before closing. There was a couple guys that were free. And so they fixed it in not too many minutes. And it was fixed. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God worked it out. God worked the timing out. But how many decisions do we make that we don't even ask him? How many decisions are just based on our desires, our comfort, our convenience? You know, don't you find that sometimes when we think we don't have time, God brings up the best witnessing opportunities? Have you ever noticed that? It's like, I don't think I have time. You know, I've got to get here, got to get there, this is busy. But sometimes during those very times, God brings up opportunities. And life becomes exciting when we see God's hand at work. In Psalm 25, when that young man told me, I took that, I can't think what he called it, but I took it home, and my wife and I read that when we went to bed, and I just, as soon as he said that, I was talking to the Lord, I know why I had that flat tire now, I know. I needed to hear that from him. I needed to hear that. In Psalm 25:4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Psalm 25:4. Why don't we go through this a few times here? Let's start out with three times, okay? Psalm 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Psalm 25:4. Psalm 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Psalm 25:4. Psalm 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Psalm 25:4. Could I have a few guys to read that for us? A few volunteers? Brother Tim? Amen. We have another volunteer. Brother Spencer.
Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths.
Okay. We have another volunteer. Brother Jim.
Psalm 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths.
Amen. So how many of you want a flat tire? No volunteers. How many of you just want God to show you his paths? Yes, that's what we want. Lord, forget about my convenience, my preferences, my desires, my ease. Lord, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. That is when life gets exciting, to see what he does. Amen. Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Windows. just be faithful to